Well, yesterday we were looking at some enhancement techniques, so we will continue with the chapter on image enhancement. The last topic we looked at yesterday was unsharp masking, where a 3x3 mask was designed for convolution or mask type of application on images to perform edge enhancement or sharpening of details. Now, there is a related method that is known as subtracting Laplacian. The theory of subtracting Laplacian is different from the reasoning or the logic behind unsharp masking, but the mask that is generated appears similar, and there is some mixing of the two names in the literature. The Laplacian operator we saw earlier is related to the second derivative of an image, partial derivatives in the x and y directions. In deriving the subtracting Laplacian operator, there is a certain model that is used to express or indicate the nature of the process that leads to the blurring in the first place. So there is an underlying model which is mathematical in the form of a diffusion process, where it is assumed that there is an original image at a certain point in time, at time equal to zero, and then the intensity values in the image slowly diffuse and spread over space as a function of time. And the observed image was obtained at some point in time after a certain amount of diffusion had taken place. Now, in practice, it may not happen so, but if you were to imagine that you are writing or painting on a sheet of paper that is absorbent, like blotting paper, and not good quality paper, then if you were to write something, slowly the ink or paint would spread. And that is a kind of a situation that is indicated by this model. The diffusion process is modeled as the partial derivative of the observed image G as a function of time being proportional to the second order derivative or gradient nabla square G with a scale factor kappa, which is some proportionality factor, where T represents time and the image slowly degrades over time or gets blurred over time. And the nabla square G is this partial derivative in x and y of the second order, as you know, we have seen, and that is the Laplacian. So at time equal to zero, we have gxy zero, and that is fxy, the original image that we intended to observe or capture. But at t equal to tau greater than zero, we observe gxy tau. So that is the image that's been obtained, and you could express that image gxy tau as gxy zero plus tau, the partial derivative of g with respect to time, and the second order derivative minus tau square over 2 and so on in what is called the Taylor series, a kind of a power series. So this is the model that is used to indicate the degradation. And then the second order and higher order terms are neglected. The quadratic and higher order terms, if you were to ignore and say they are very small, then we have this model where G is the original image plus, let me go back, this quantity, the first derivative in time. But that is modeled as being proportional to the Laplacian. So the time derivative is being replaced by the spatial derivative. With that substitution, we can estimate the original image FE, which is a kind of an enhanced version of G, or an estimate of the original, as G minus kappa tau nabla square G. So this quantity G is, of course, the observed image, and this is nabla square G is the Laplacian. So you take the image and subtract from it a certain fraction of the Laplacian. And hence, this is known as the subtracting Laplacian method. So the enhanced image is obtained as a weighted subtraction of the given image and its Laplacian, which is a spatial gradient. The Laplacian, we know, is computed in the discrete system, or in for discrete images, with this mask, -4 for the current central pixel and +1 for the pixels above and below and left and right. So this is the computational mask to obtain the Laplacian for a digital image. Now this is the Laplacian as a gradient. The sum of the coefficients here is equal to 0. So in this case, the intensity values will be lost. Now if you were to let this coefficient kappa tau equal to just 1, then you have 1 minus the Laplacian. And if you take 1 minus the previous mask, you get 1 minus -4, which is 5. And these, the ones that we had in the Laplacian will now become -1. That is, you subtract a mask. Let me go back. You make a mask that is 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0. And from that, you subtract this element by element. So you get the subtracting Laplacian operator. Now, here, note that the sum of the masks elements is equal to 1. 5 minus 4 times 1. So the intensity is maintained. The average intensity is maintained. And because of the model that we saw just now, when you apply this to a degraded or blurred image, we get an enhanced or sharpened version of the image. In the literature, you may see some variation in the name, where some authors call unsharp masking as a generalized subtracting Laplacian. Because in the unsharp masking procedure, we had 2 and -1/8 for all the 8 connected neighbors. And here you have 5, and you have negative weights for the 4 connected neighbors. So they appear to be comparable, and hence some authors call unsharp masking as generalized subtracting Laplacian, or some call subtracting Laplacian as an unsharp masking filter. So there is a little bit of mix-up in the literature between these two names because of this similarity. The subtracting Laplacian leads to edge enhancement. We saw earlier that the Laplacian has a gain that increases quadratically with frequency. So there is high frequency enhancement involved here. The Laplacian by itself does not maintain intensity information. The subtracting Laplacian maintains the intensity information and provides a sharper image than the original. But as we saw in the case of unsharp masking, the use of negative weights could lead to negative values in the output. So you have to do something about that. When mapping the output to your display, you must take care of negative values. The dynamic range of the output will be larger than that of the input. So you'll be compressing the larger dynamic range after enhancement back to the display range. So that leads to some loss of the enhancement we gain. The subtracting Laplacian can also introduce overshoot and undershoot or ringing artifacts, as I showed in the case of the unsharp masking filter. So these are some of the points that indicate the characteristics of this operator. To demonstrate the artifact that we get, here is a simple example of a pulse, a one-dimensional rectangular pulse. You take the first derivative, you get this, a positive spike for the upstroke and negative spike for the downstroke or downward slope of the pulse. Now you take the derivative of that again, you get this function on the third line, where you get positive and negative and positive values. You get 4 spikes. Now you take the first original signal, subtract the second order derivative, you get this, where clearly you see undershoot and overshoot, overshoot and undershoot. Of course, that depends upon the weighting factor as to how much of this is subtracted from the original. There is a weighting factor kappa tau, and in the subtracting Laplacian operator, we let it to be equal to 1. Now, you may change it. You could use half or whatever else you want, depending upon how much enhancement you want and if you want to reduce this kind of an artifact. But such an artifact exists in the images, and let me go back and show you the corresponding examples. So here is a shape image again, and that part B we saw earlier is the result of unsharp masking. Part C is the Laplacian, which is the gradient. So you see the intensity information has been removed and you get edges. Part D is the subtracting Laplacian. So here you very clearly see the kind of ringing artifact you get. The dynamic range of the subtracting Laplacian output is minus 532 to plus 832. And I chose minus 300 to plus 300 and mapped that to 0 to 255. So somebody has changed the keyboard, so I don't have to press the function key anymore. Something has changed here. So here we have the Laplacian, and that is the subtracting Laplacian. So the intensity information is maintained, but because the dynamic range has changed and there were negative values, the zero level is somewhere in between. It's not shown as black. The blackest value here, or I should say the black value here, the darkest values correspond to minus 300 that are mapped as the lower limit. And clearly you see this artifact of ringing around the edges, a positive or bright edge and then a dark edge. So that is the nature of the enhancement we get. And as I mentioned, if you were to apply such an enhancement technique and provide the image in, for example, mammography or radiography to a radiologist, a specialist in that area would not like such artifacts. The highlighting of edges would not be desirable or tolerated in some applications because it would be a bit disturbing and distorts the general nature of the original image. In some other applications, it might be acceptable. And of course, by changing the weight between the original image and the Laplacian in subtraction, you can adjust the operator so that this artifact is minimized. But you have to recognize that such artifacts exist when you apply the subtracting Laplacian and the unsharp masking operations. There are some more examples. The knee MR image, this is the Laplacian that gives you the gradient. This is subtracting Laplacian, and on top you have the unsharp masking result. The unsharp masking and subtracting Laplacian results are comparable. Not exactly the same, of course, but they are similar characteristics. These little black spots here, whatever they represent, and the lines you see here, they're all enhanced or sharpened in the output image. There are more examples. The chest image, the myocyte image, and so on. Okay. Now, when you have fixed operators, such as unsharp masking and Laplacian or subtracting Laplacian operators, they are fixed in terms of the size of the mask and also the coefficients. The same operation is applied all over the image regardless of what exists in the image. So the filters cannot adapt to changes in the nature or characteristics of the image from one location to another. So these are stationary operators. And of course, applied as convolution, they are linear shift invariant operators. If you want to adapt to the changing characteristics of a non-stationary image, then you must consider adaptive filters. And we will look at some later on. The operators we saw just now, Laplacian and subtracting Laplacian and unsharp masking, they are local operators. You operate upon the pixels in the image domain, and you use a small locality, such as a 3x3 area, to derive the output for a particular pixel. Now, you could also perform enhancement operations in the frequency domain. High frequency emphasis is one method of enhancing edges in an image in the Fourier domain. If you just do high pass filtering is useful in the detection of edges. We have seen earlier that when you apply a derivative operator, we get a high pass filter with linearly increasing gain over frequency. And of course, if you take the second derivative, then you get quadratically increasing gain. And those are high pass filters. And because the edges are extracted by derivative and gradient operators, and with the connection that those operators are high pass operators in the frequency domain, we can draw the conclusion that high frequency Fourier spectral components are associated with edges and large changes and large gradients in the image. So if you want to extract edges, we could apply a high pass filter of some kind. Now, what kind of a filter you need depends upon the nature of the output you would like to derive. If you just take the derivative, as I said, you get a filter with linearly increasing gain in that dimension. But if you were to consider filters like what we looked at for low-pass filtering, we could consider the ideal high-pass filter again. We know that the ideal filter will introduce certain types of artifacts, but let us look at what happens. And the ideal high-pass filter is defined as HUV, the transfer function in the frequency domain, or the frequency response equal to 1, if DUV, the distance from the origin in the frequency space, square root of u square plus v square, is greater than some cutoff. So it is the opposite of the ideal low-pass filter, and zero otherwise. So you just remove a certain amount of low-frequency information and pass the rest. The spectrum is centered with 0, 0 at the center of the image or of the plane of the Fourier domain. So it is the opposite of what you saw earlier, where in the frequency domain, if this is the frequency space with 0, 0 in the middle, u-axis, v-axis, then a central portion is simply removed. A disk type of a region is removed. On the other side, on the right-hand side, you see the corresponding Butterworth filter where the transition is smooth. We'll come to the Butterworth filter later. So here is a profile or a section through the filters. This is the ideal filter where the gain is zero for a certain range of low frequency, and then it increases immediately to 1 for the pass band. Here the cutoff shown is 0.1 in normalized frequency. On the other hand, if you were to use a Butterworth filter, you have a smooth transition from the stop band to the pass band. Now, given the nature of the artifacts that we will get with an ideal filter, low pass or high pass, we would want to consider the Butterworth filter where the transition is smooth. And here is the transfer function for the Butterworth filter, which is monotonic in the pass band and stop band, monotonically increasing gain from the stop band from 0, 0 frequency to the pass band, which would be at D naught, where you have half the power. So this expression is similar to what we saw for the low-pass filter, except the ratio is inverted. Instead of DUV divided by D0, you get D0 divided by DUV to the power of 2n, where n is the order of the filter. And this factor, square root of 2 minus 1, is for normalization, so that when duv is equal to d naught, you get a gain equal to 1 over root 2, or power transfer of half. So this filter will prevent the ringing artifacts that we have seen to be the result of an ideal filter. The rest we have seen before, so I'll skip that. Now, a high pass filter will give you only the edges. The gain of a high pass filter is zero at 0,0 frequency. And the value in the spectrum for 0,0 frequency is the average value of the image, which is the average intensity. If you reject, let me go back to the section of the filters. If you reject the zero frequency by putting the gain equal to zero there, the average intensity of the image is removed, which means you don't have intensity information. As you know, images have a non-zero mean, and images typically have only positive values representing intensity or density. If you remove that information, then you only get edges. And if you want an enhanced image with sharpened edges rather than only edges, then you must have a non-zero gain for the zero frequency component. And a high frequency emphasis filter, instead of a high pass, you have a high emphasis filter, will maintain a non-zero gain of how much ever you want. And then you have a high pass-like characteristics where higher frequency values or components are enhanced, given more weight than lower frequency components. So if you just take the high pass filter and add a constant to it and shift it up, that will be a high frequency emphasis filter. And the proportion of that could be controlled by this equation, where the transfer function now is kappa 1 plus the Butterworth filter we saw earlier with a weighting factor of kappa 2. So you adjust the two weights as you wish, and you get different results depending upon the weighting factors. So this will give you enhancement rather than extraction of edges, and the intensity information will be maintained. So here are some examples. The clock image again. The ideal high-pass filter in part B here, where again these artifacts have come because of the zero padding that I put in. By using the Butterworth high-pass filter, we get this part C, where the edges have been extracted and you do not see the ringing artifact here anymore. But note that the intensity information is not present, of course, in case of both of these high-pass filter results. The bright area here and the black area here both have similar output values in the output. If you do a high emphasis filter, that is part D, with a Butterworth filter, and here you see that the intensity information is maintained. The bright area is bright, the dark area is dark, and these numerals are sharper now because of the high frequency emphasis. So in this manner, you can sharpen the details in an image by applying a high emphasis filter. Now, if there is noise in the image, then the noise is also enhanced because the gain for higher frequencies, where noise will be stronger than the signal, is high. So that may be a little difficult to see. Let me see if I can zoom it. And then in the original, you do see some noise here. And in the enhanced image also, you see increased noise, along with sharpening of the details to some extent. Now, I have zoomed it quite large here on the screen. The image is quite small. The image only has 100 by 100 pixels. So there is also a pixelation artifact. So some more examples of high pass filtering, extracting edges, and high emphasis filtering with the Butterworth, where there is edge enhancement with the chest image. And here with the ideal high pass filter, you can very clearly see the ringing artifact. The Butterworth filter gives the edges very well here, but you have to map appropriately. As I said, in the case of high-pass filtering, you have a dynamic range that is different from that of the input. And when you high-pass filter an image, you are removing quite a lot of energy in the low-frequency range where the intensity information is present. And in this case, in the case of the Butterworth filter, let's say this part C, the dynamic range of the output is minus 78 to 95, whereas the input is 0 to 255. So I took a very small range, minus 5 to 5, and stretched it so you can see these details. If you were to take the minimum to maximum and map to 0 to 255, you will not be able to see these details because they are very small. The differences here are very small between adjacent pixel values. High-pass filtering is like differentiation, and if the image is fairly smooth, then the values that you get will be very small. So you have to map the result appropriately to the output display range by selecting a range of values where the information of interest exists. Otherwise, you may see an output image that appears to be blank. The high-frequency emphasis is here, where using the Butterworth filter, these fine details have been enhanced a bit, but that might not be the best possible enhancement. And the knee joint example. With the shapes image, you again see the artifacts around the edges caused by the high-pass filtering action. So this is something that would be considered to be an artifact. In attempting to sharpen the details, you create, or in this case, I have created the edge artifacts, and that would not be desirable. As I've said earlier, there's always a price to pay. Along with the desired effect, you will also have some undesired effects. Okay? Any question?